Give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May the Lord bless us through the reading of his word. Today we are going to devote, I would suppose, in the next 25 minutes or so to hearing from you. This whole year, I mean, this is harvest time, I guess. If we were farmers, we have taken in the harvest. And this is the time to think about all that God has blessed us with this entire year. For those of us who have found work, I'm thinking about those of you who have been searching for work and you have found it. Well, thanks be to God for giving you a job. For those of us who have been baptized for the first time this year, thanks be to God for bringing you into his family. So I pray that as we share with each other, that we'll have a chance to give thanks to God for everything. If you can back up a slide, I also want to mention this, that yesterday we had a memorial service for Charles. Charles passed away earlier this week, in case you're not aware, and many of us went to his funeral service yesterday. It was a very sad occasion, but also a time for us to thank God for Charles and his presence and his life with us. And so I'm hoping that as you share, you can also think about his life. Some of you may want to say a few words about of gratitude to your friendship with Charles as well. So let's go to the next slide. So today will be a time for, I'm encouraging you to open your hearts and your minds to think about things to share about with each other. There is in the insert here, Kara Power wrote a how-to about helping us reclaim gratitude this season. So I'd like for you to look at that insert, and I just want to just read the first two paragraphs. As followers of Jesus, and this is Kara talking about her and her husband, gratitude takes on a special meaning. As Dave and I love sharing with our own three kids, we live gratefully because of God's grace. Let me repeat that. We live gratefully because of God's grace, because of all God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Grace is what separates Christianity from every other religion. And grace is the ultimate fuel for our gratitude. Because of God's grace, we live our lives as a thank you notes back to God. And I'll repeat that, and you might want to tweet this if you are a tweeter. Because of God's grace, we live our lives as thank you notes back to God. May later on you can look at the rest of this insert, but I hope that that is something that speaks true to all of you, that life is lived not in complaint about all the things we don't have, but in gratitude for his abundance to us, primarily through his saving work on the cross in Jesus Christ, but also through all the abundance of blessings, friendships, and gifts that we have received in Jesus Christ. So I hope that you'll be open to sharing about all of that today. And I'll just say, leave you with one last word before we invite everyone to come up and share. It's this word, okay? Do you know the word in the New Testament that for family? Any of you? familiar with a Greek word for it? Anyone want to venture a guess? No, that's Hawaii. Oh, I don't know. Yes, but I'm trying to get at that concept too. Thank you. The Greek word for family in the Bible is oikos. It's spelled in English as O-I-K-O-S, oikos. And the English derivation, it also is derived into the word economy, or economy. So why do I bring this up? It's because of this. We are an oikos. We are a family. But the family that we represent is not the same kind of family that most of us think of. We're not like a dad, mom, and hopefully with grandparents and kids. That nuclear family is not the kind of family that people in the Bible were used to. In the Bible, most people were used to having families that were very large. It was the nuclear family, the extended family, and also in the families that could manage it, there were also servants in a household too, and people who lived in the family. So if you were in a Roman household, it would include a lot of people, not just the immediate family, but a whole bunch of people. That in the Roman world was known as the economic unit of the Roman world. So every family was an economic unit, self-sustained unit. And so a better word for us is not family, it's actually a village. Because people don't necessarily, they're not necessarily related to each other by blood, but they are related to each other because they share in common a need to survive together, to live together, to thrive together. So when we think of family in the New Testament, let's think of it as a whole church congregation. Not every one of us knows each other here very well, where some of us are close to each other, some are related to each other by blood, but many of us are not even connected to each other. There are youth among us who don't know any of our adults, and there are many young adults among us who don't know the older adults either. But that's okay, because here in God's village, or oikos, the one thing we share in common is Jesus Christ. And the second thing we share in common is our willingness to share in common, a desire to share from our hearts. Because by sharing, by our gratitude, our love for each other, our hurts and our pains, we are basically expressing to God a thankfulness for all that He has done for us, thankfulness for helping us be an oikos here, a family, or a village. So I hope that you think of things that you can share, because the more you share with each other, the more fuel for grace there is, the more people get excited about their faith and excited about being together. The more you share, the more each other person in our household family will grow. Sharing is the currency of oikos. So I would invite you to come up and share. So when you share, please, try to be brief. Try to honor God as much as you can in your sharing. And remind each other that as you share, this is all because of God's goodness and grace to you. And then share things that are worthy of thanksgiving. But also, if you have something that you would like prayer for, share about a prayer request. Just share. Sharing is how we will learn to love each other more and more. So I'm going to sit down, and I've said enough. And I'm going to invite you to come on up and share a few words. And there's a variety of topics that I suggested, so come on up and share. Anyone want to start? I'll stand here until somebody starts. Don't be afraid. We love you. We want to hear from you. In the past, when we've done this, it's often has been one of our youth who would come up and stand up and get us started, a Kickstarter. But in today, it looks like we might have someone else. Not necessarily a youth, but very youthful looking.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Yeah, I'd like to share a few words about Charles. I give thanks to God that he has been part of our congregation for, I think, 5-6 years. And I thank God for my friendship with him. One time, my wife Ring and I invited him over for dinner, and it was on Halloween, and it was on Monday. So, our focus was to watch Monday Night Football, right? But it just so happened to fall on Halloween, and he came over for dinner, right? We had a good time catching up, getting to know him a little bit better, and you know, trick or treaters would come, right? So we would be passing out candy. And near the end of the night, right, we're maybe, you know, third, fourth quarter or so, you know, most of the kids have gone and come by and have gone. There was a knock on the door. We opened it, and to our surprise, it was probably a person in his 40s who had a hoodie on, and he just put the hood over, and he had a plastic bag for trick-or-treat, right? And he said, "Trick-or-treat!" And myself, Ring, and Charles looked at him, and we sort of just, like, paused for a second, but we could not help but just burst out laughing. And he laughed, too, right? So it worked both ways. But that was just one memory that I treasure with Charles. And there are many more, right? Every Sunday, right, during lunchtime, I would see Charles with his daughter, right, Caitlin. And it's just another picture of, you know, dad and daughter eating together. And there's beauty in that, just from that picture. You know, yeah, I'll definitely miss Charles. On Sunday, seeing him sit in this section, talking about his Dallas Cowboys and their ups and downs, especially last year, there was a lot to talk about. But I'll miss him as a friend. But I thank God for the time that, that we've had with him. So, yeah, always remember to treasure the time with our friends, those around us, and make the most out of every moment. Even here as a church, we're not the biggest service, right? We're not the biggest congregation, but that just gives us more opportunity for us to get to know each other better. And I pray that this upcoming year, as there are a lot of transitions happening here within our service and in our church, that we can cling on to each other and help support each other and pray for each other. Thanks.
I'm Sylvie. I also want to share a few stories about Charles. We both live in Foster City. Well, actually, he's a longtime Foster Cedar, and I moved there about 5-6 years ago. When I moved there, I knew no one. And one time, my husband was traveling in Asia, my daughter was sick. And I was struggling as a new mom, so he actually texted me. I don't know how he got my number, actually. So he texted me and said, "Hey, these are the times I'm available. If you want me to babysit, just call me. Or, you know, if you want a break, you know, just let me know." I was like, "Oh, don't you have to work?" Because he gave me, like, the times that were in, you know, during daytimes. So that's one story. And my daughter had some eczema issue. I guess I talked about it, and then he knew about it. And one day, he's like, "Hey, you know, my mom told me that aloe actually help ashy skin. Why don't you come over to my place this afternoon? My mom can give you some aloe that she grow." I'm like, okay. And I was kind of hesitating. I'm like, I don't know if that helped. But he called me. He's like, "Hey, you know, my mom is waiting for you. Just come." So we went to his place, and then his mom put some aloe on Ashley, and she's like, "You know, just come over anytime. You can just, you know, pick up some and just bring it home. You don't have to tell me." I'm like, okay. And then, you know, after, you know, you know, grandparents, after they have grandkids, they would visit us more often, right? So my mom started visiting me more regularly. And, you know, like, she's kind of bored, stuck in Foster City because she knew no one, right? And then Charles said, hey, you know, he can't really take care of my mom. So he actually volunteered his mom to take care of my mom. So, yeah, so he just gave my phone number to his mom, and his mom started calling me. Then I guess they started having their own arrangement. His mom would come to my place to pick up my mom, and they would go somewhere, and my mom would come home at 10. I'm like, where did you guys go? My mom was, like, even busier than I was because his mom really took care of my mom. So, you know, yesterday at the funeral, his best friend shared that, you know, Charles is willing to help people. And if he can, he will volunteer someone else to help. And I think these really shows that his kindness, his hospitality, and this is something I would never forget.
The first time I know Charles is when we were in Sunday school. So I remember, like, when I teach a little worship. So, like, on that time, I think Geneva is about, like, 2 years old. And Charles is, he helped in the Sunday school, too. He doesn't, you know, seems to be very active at church, but he actually, like, you know, like, working behind the stage kind of person. Like, he helped in the Sunday school, and every time I teach, he will be my helper. So that's the first time I know him. And yeah, sometimes we will, you know, meet in the front of the school, because in the classroom, because we are trying to pick up, you know, peep into our children what they are doing, you know, if they are behaving well or things. And what I remember about Charles is, like, he's not, you know, he don't talk much, but whenever you ask him to serve, he will just do it, you know. Like, I remember when we need the people to sing for the Christmas, he is one of the three kings, and he just, you know, like, when we ask him to sing, and he just, you know, go and whatever costume we put on him, you know, he just, like, you know, let you do it for him, you know. He doesn't talk much, but he will just do it. And yeah, we got a several times to spend time with him. Like, we invited him over to our home, and sometimes we have a meal together with some friends too. So and last week, we just, you know, I'm so happy for him that we met with Jesse, you know. Like, I just told Jesse, I'm so happy that, you know, you guys are getting married, and I'm talking to him about, like, where do you guys live after this? And he's telling me that he's living close to our home. And, you know, like, so happy to hear, you know, the future that is coming for him. But then God has another plan, which I believe that God's plan is a better plan for him. Although we miss him, yeah, we know that, you know, one day we will all meet again in heaven.
have time for a few more people to share. But before we continue, I'd like for us to take a look at this video clip, and maybe this clip will remind us of the importance of giving thanks for all that God has blessed us with, including our friendships, such as with our friend, dearly departed friend Charles. So if I could have you guys advance to that clip.
Today I lift my eyes to the heavens and count my blessings.
I think of all my needs that were met today.
The clothes on my back.
A place to lie down tonight. Nothing miraculous or earth-shattering.
Just the small things that help keep me going day after day.
Thank you, God. I have food on my table. Health to get me through the day.
Good memories I've shared.
All the beauty that makes life special.
Thank you, God.
I'm blessed by what I can see and touch.
What I can feel in the moment. But Lord, you transcend feelings and moments.
You sacrificed your life so I could see beyond what's under my feet and over my head.
Thank you, God.
That kind of love keeps my heart free.
During seasons where peace is hard to come by.
Even when I can't see or touch a blessing,
I know I can close my eyes and say, thank you, God.
I've lost a lot this year. Things I worked hard for.
Dreams I was sure were going to come true.
People I never wanted to say goodbye to.
I walked a hard path of trial.
And pain and despair.
But I never walked it alone.
Even now, I can say thank you, God. Because no matter what is set before me,
dark valleys or green pastures,
goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when this life is over, I'll dwell with you in your house forever.
So I just want to stop and tell you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Hello. You know, after the video clip, I want to share something little, but I'm so thankful. It's like you live in this world the whole year, 2017. You had something to be thankful. And it's maybe too much, but it's so little. A little there and a little there. So you feel like, I don't know if I'm going to go there and share with people. But I really want to share that I'm so thankful for the rain last week. It was raining so hard, but I really enjoy it. I let my kids put on the rain boots and give them little umbrella, and they're playing. They're having so much fun in the rain. They jump in the rain. Their pants are so wet, and they're like playing with the umbrella everywhere, here and there on the way back from school. I really, really enjoy seeing their smiling and playing with the rain and just let it be dirty. And I'm so thankful for everyday life here. It's like we have such a good life. You have nothing really in need. There's something in the store you really wanted, but actually if you don't have it, you're still fine. So like packing the shoeboxes, I told my kid, these kids, they don't have anything. They don't have a toy they like. We're just giving them something extra that we have too much. So I'm really thankful for God that gave me such a good life. Every day I feel difficult because my kids are cranky or whining. It's so difficult, but I'm still so thankful. Thank you, Lord.
So 10 years ago, during this time, Thanksgiving, I arrived back from China. And I know I'm so emotional. I'm thankful for the experience I have there. I'm thankful for the life God has shown me and lesson He taught me. Only during the time in China, and also the past 10 years, how He had helped me and to belong with life post-China. I mean, it's a difficult transition. It's a kind of life that's different from our normal Silicon Valley life. And just the grace I experienced. The past 10 years, many things have happened. You know, I went to China as a single person, committed to share the Christ with the people there, and came back 10 years ago and didn't know what I was going to do. But slowly, of course, God revealed His plan to me, and slowly He helped me to re-engage in the life here in Canaan, and slowly, you know, I was able to find my missions here in the Bay Area. And I've been really thankful for that, how God had moving and still keep me moving and still helped me to learn more about Him. And because of the experience, I would never forget what He had done on the cross for me. And just as a sacrifice for my sin. And that's been really real to me. And so I'm really thankful for that. And Pastor Tim, I know it's going to be a difficult and different kind of life. I just encourage you, you know, fundraising life is not easy, but it's glorious. And somehow I experienced the fundraising life to be very encouraging, loving from people. And just, it's a faith journey, and God just brought different people I never knew before and just helped me, supporting me. And
thank you, Crystal, for those kind words of encouragement. I think God has me with my life backwards. So going into the mission field is usually something reserved for the younger people.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to turn off my... as I was saying, I appreciate Crystal for your words of encouragement, because God seems to have my life backwards. Mission work and fundraising is usually for young people, but by the time you get to my age and you have to do that, I think that's one of my biggest fears. But I'm also rejoicing and grateful for all the rest of you who for sharing this morning, whether it's memories about Charles or about God's goodness in your life. It's so good to remember, to be reminded that in everything we do, good or difficult, the joys that we have, as well as our struggles, our frustrations and our anger, as well as our excitement over possibilities, God is present in all of those moments. Even when we complain about life, He's there, He's listening, He's present. And I want to encourage us to always remember that He is with you and with me and with all of us. So, can you join me that way? I have a pretty lengthy time of prayer for us to engage in together. And also, just a reminder, next time we do a sharing service, whenever there's a silence, don't treat that as an awkward silence. The silence is actually a time of reflection and prayer. So as people are sharing, and when there's those pauses where no one is sharing, I consider those times when we can pray silently to God. So now let's pray out loud to God with our prayers of the people, our Thanksgiving prayer. And this comes from the Book of Common Prayers based in 1993. So I did not write this myself. I hope that the words will reflect your heart as well. Give thanks to the Lord who is good. Come, let us praise God joyfully. For the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors. For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for common hopes and hardships shared from birth until our dying. For work to do and strength to work, for the comradeship of labor, for exchanges of good humor and encouragement. For marriage, for the mystery and joy of flesh made one, for mutual forgiveness and burdens shared, for confidences kept in love. For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures. For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies. For the young, for their high hopes, for the irreverence towards worn-out values, for their search for freedom, for their solemn vows. For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, for rest and leisure, and for time made precious by its passing. For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger. For the church into which we have been called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord. For your Holy Spirit who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship. Above all, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in Him, and for the joy of serving Him. We thank and praise you, eternal God, for your everlasting love. Amen.